That was a time of worship, right? Oh my gosh. I was like belting it down here. I was just going after it. I don't know. There's scripture that talks about make a joyful noise, right? I was totally making a joyful noise today before the Lord. I was just like shouting it out. It was so good, so fun. Worship is fun. Worship is something that when we are just declaring the goodness of God and when we are reflecting on His might and His glory and His wonder and His kingship, I know we're worshiping Him, but He is just pouring out blessing, and it is just it encourages us when we reflect on how amazing God is. So I'm super blessed, super pumped up. I don't know if it's the worship or the 3 cups of coffee that I've had today. So I'm just gonna say that it's Jesus and not caffeine. So we're going to get after it. I have to just say, before we get started on the message today about community, Nick did a phenomenal job last week on community. It's so good. So good. I got to say, I am just very, very blessed by this guy and what he brings to this house and how he contributes to the ministries here. And following the message here, we talked about, we had another gathering of our leaders upstairs, and he leads this time of just encouragement and coaching and teaching, and I'm just blown away, and I'm just sitting here going, awesome. It's not much I have to say. It's just, it's so cool. So Nick, I'm thankful, man, and it's really exciting. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but I'm excited for this fall and what Nick is preparing and where our church is going with this idea of community and discipleship. It's really, really awesome. And I'm going to announce it like in the next couple of weeks, but it's good. All right. So thank you, Nick. I got to tell you, we have been in the midst of a series. And we're talking about our values. If this is your first time here, just really quick, take one of those Connect cards out, fill it out, and put it in the black boxes if this is your first time. We want to get to know you. And I'm so glad that you're here today. We're going to be continuing talking about community, but we're talking about our core values overall. And we have 5 core values in this church. And the first one was love that we talked about for a couple of weeks. The second one was generosity, which again, Nick killed it, and so he just was sharing some amazing things there, too. And Jill talked on love, and I'm so just excited about what has been brought forward in this house over the last few messages. And so we're going to continue with community today. Next week, we're going to start for a couple of weeks talking about teamwork, and then the week after that, we're going to talk about integrity. So we're looking forward to those values. Now, you know, above the values, there are core beliefs, and those things, if you want to know more about that, you can go to our website, but we're talking about the main things, like Jesus is Savior, right, and prayer. These things are our core beliefs and what we stand on, and so we're not talking about those things. These are like the values that are in our DNA, the things that we put into everything that we do, the ministries that we do. These are the areas that we really adhere to. So love, generosity, community, teamwork, and integrity are very, very big pieces of who we are at TRC. So all of that being said, I want to ask this question, just random question to you this morning. You know, it's pop culture thing. Have any of you ever seen the television show? It first started on the History Channel, but the show's called Alone. Oh my gosh. This show, Josh, you know, this show is just, it's killer. These guys and girls get sent out into the Canadian tundra in October, and they just are left with some camera gear and 10 things plus some extra survival stuff, and they've got to live off the land, all right? Alone. No help. They just go. Alone. 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 They are by themselves, and I don't know if I could do this. I like to imagine that maybe I could, like for 3 days. But for the most part, these people that do it, the winner of these things, it's basically last man standing, last person standing. And so they can go out for 60 days, 80 days. The last season of this, the dude lasted 100 days out there by himself alone. He had like killed a yak. I don't know. He just, it's like, fishing, moose, all this stuff. And he could have done it longer, which just blows me away. He's like, y'all are here too soon. I'm going, dang. Winner gets some prize money. It's a pretty fascinating show. But when we're talking about community, I couldn't help but think that even in this idea of being alone, these people who are out there actually need other people to help them get to this place where they can be the baddest mamma jamma out there. They need other people. One guy who won one of the seasons actually lived with a Siberian nomadic group of people for a couple of years in order to learn how to live in the tundra, how to live this lifestyle of living off the land. I'm going, these guys are insanely just dedicated to this idea of living alone. And yet, they have to do it with somebody else before they can do it alone. They need other people. I think Nick could do it. I'm pretty sure you could last for at least a month. So, killing things. All right, but a few years back, you have to. I mean, you can't just like berries forever. You know, eventually the berries die and freeze. You gotta. Yeah. Okay. Watch the show. It's cool. But a few years back, just talking about this idea of being alone, a few years back I went on sabbatical, and for 8 weeks, Jill and I and our family went vacationing and took some time of reflection, of renewal, and just spent had an opportunity to just get away for a little bit. And one of the things that I kind of got from that time was actually I began to miss my community terribly. It's interesting. When I was away, I was wanting to come back to this place. I was wanting to come back to you guys, to hang out, to talk, to see what's happening in your lives. I was missing this community. And part of the idea of this, too, was that while we were away, I just kind of felt just, I don't know, it wasn't like my walk with the Lord was waning at all. And yet, I just didn't feel as fulfilled as much as my walk was just kind of this. Because when I'm with people, I am in a situation where my walk begins to do this. It begins to increase. It begins to grow. Because of what you all provide for me in my life. And I hope that we are doing this in a way that we are all giving people encouragement, motivation, feedback, as we are growing in this community. We talk a lot about community here. It's in our vision statement. That we want to bring a kingdom of heaven community to where we live, work, and play so that others can know Christ. Community is a big deal here at TRC. And we talk about everyone being a part of a body, right? And having their own unique place, their God-given purposes and gifts that they use to advance the kingdom of God, to move this community closer to him and to reach out to the lost. And for all of these different reasons, we do things as a body of believers, but each one has some unique talents and gifts that they provide for this movement forward. But I believe also that there are some things that we can do as a community that are all together the same. And I want to just look at this for a second today. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, this is kind of the key verses for this value that we hold about community. And it says this in Hebrews, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." As I was reflecting on this, it's interesting that in this season, our culture is wanting to move away and make our spirituality privatized. It's wanting to say, hey, you do you, I'll do me, but we're not going to bring our spiritualities together. We're going to kind of keep it distant, keep our own thing, we're going to do our own thing, live our own life, and we're not going to bring this forward. In other places, like in China, spirituality, I mean, if you were to try to profess your faith out in public, you would get arrested. In Afghanistan right now, those that believe in Christ are being killed because of what they believe. For the last few years, the last 20 years in Afghanistan, the Taliban has been marking and naming and keeping watch on those that profess their faith to following Jesus Christ. And now that they are coming into power, they are wiping them out one by one. scary. That we live in a world, in a day and age, where this is actually still happening. It's always happened. It's always happened. Even in Roman times, the early church, Christians were persecuted, were killed for their faith. This is something that's not new, but this is something that is happening. And so when the writer of Hebrews is talking, he is saying, hey, I know that there's things going on, but let us be encouraged. And let's motivate one another. This morning, I want to show why this idea of privatized spirituality doesn't work. I want to talk about this a little bit because I feel that there is an opportunity for us to learn about the importance of community in a very unique and special way that we all can contribute to this idea of doing church together as one body, doing some things very similarly. And there's two points that I want to hit on through these verses today. And the first one is that we need to get fired up. When it talks about motivating, let's consider to motivate one another to love and good deeds. We need to get fired up about our faith to one another, considering how we can do this. I love, you know that I love my son, Jack. I was like, why am I saying I love? I love my son. My youngest son, Jack, is a wild man. He's a crazy kid. He has got so much energy that at times he is exhausting. But he is awesome. I mean, I'm standing there, and he's like, hey, Dad. You know, he's like Spider-Man jumping into my arms. I'm like, dude, you're 12. Stop. You know, but he continues to jump in, and, you know, he's like, he's flying. He's doing all this stuff. Jack he just has his own way of thinking, and I love it. And he goes, hey, Dad, someday I want to get a tattoo. I'm like, awesome. Okay, someday. Not today. And he's been thinking about this, and I really do appreciate his mind going on this. He goes, Dad, I want to get a lit match on my forearm. And I went, what? A lit match? Why do you want a lit match on your forearm? And he goes, because, Dad, a match is a small thing. But when it catches fire, and starts to hit other things, those other things catch fire too, and it ignites, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Little things can do big stuff. And I'm like, let's go tomorrow. I'm going to get one too. You know? I'm like, come on, Jack. Awesome. And I love this idea that he wants to get fired up. There's something about being a motivation, to being someone that as you are speaking something, that you are firing up other people to do great things. I love this idea of how we can consider to motivate one another to love and to good deeds. And I want to just say that when we are motivating other people, we need to motivate from a spirit of love. In John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And when we are talking about this idea of considering and looking out of how we can motivate others to do good deeds, we are looking for these opportunities that we can spur other people to do things for the kingdom of God. And deeds, though, without love is a hypocritical action meant only to serve ourselves. So when we're looking at motivating other people, if we are not coming from a spirit of wanting them to succeed, but we're looking at this motivation of saying, how can you benefit me? We're falling short of what God really has in store and what the purpose for this motivation is. We need to look at this in a way of saying, when I'm speaking this motivation to somebody else, when I'm living out a lifestyle that would motivate others to do these things for the kingdom of God, I need to be doing this with a spirit of love in me. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If you're a motivational speaker, if you're doing things for your own self-gain, people are going to smell that on you, and they're going to go, no. I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to go after that. I mean, it's good for a moment, but we must understand that we are called to something with a greater degree of eternal it's an eternal difference. And because of that, if we're doing it for selfishness or self-gain, it's going to fall short. But if we are doing it out of the spirit of love and of serving, we will see amazing things start to happen. Interestingly, with this, when I think about being motivated, I know this to be a fact, that we get motivation, when I'm talking about, you know, the self-serving or through love, we all get motivated by so many different things in our life. We may see a doctor, and that doctor motivates us to get healthy, you know? Or we're driving down, we're driving up to Purgatory, and we're hitting Colbank Pass, and we see some bicyclist just bombing up Colbank Pass. And we go, game on, baby. I got to do that. It motivates you, right? When you're at the gym and you see somebody that's super just toned and healthy and they're just getting after it and you're just pumping iron, and you're just like, man, I could do that. I can get after that. You know, at CrossFit, somebody's just, you know, throwing the kettlebells around. You're just like, oh my gosh, they're burly. They've done 10 and I've done 2, but I'm going to do one more because they did 12. I don't know. We're motivated by all of this stuff. And we can even be motivated by the radio shows that we listen to, the news that we listen to, the social media that we engage in. These are things that can motivate us out of a spirit of fear. There's things that motivate all over the place. But are you allowing the church, are you allowing individuals in a Christ-like way, through love, motivate you, compel you to do things out of love and good deeds? We are called to consider how to motivate one another to love and good deeds. This is kind of a crazy thing when I talk about motivation or talk about this idea to motivate. The Greek in this is, it's a word that actually means provocation or sharp disagreement. Which is interesting when you read this and you're like, oh man. So this is not some like lovey-dovey kind of motivation type of a moment. This is actually a little bit more of a harsh moment of speaking to somebody else out of this place of love. The NIV translates this word as spur one another on. And I think that paints a better picture for us, you know, motivate. It's like, let's go, come on. But to spur somebody to do something, when you think about it, like the spurs that you would wear when you're riding a horse. Whoo! Giddy up. That horse is going to buck. It gets that horse moving. And the same type of a thing is that sometimes it may not be pleasant, but it is effective when you are speaking these things in love to somebody else to encourage them and to go forward, to motivate them. This verse implies the same thing. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. When you think about this verse, there is a friction that's taking place. It is not a pillow fight. It is something that there is a tension. And it is a good tension. Because when these two guys come together, when these two ladies come together, and there is a place of saying, I love you so much that I don't want to see you walking in the same way, but I know that you can do better. I know that you are better. So let's go. Let's go. There's a friction there. And it may hurt for a moment, but you know that because that person is speaking to you with a heart of love, that it's going to motivate you and compel you to love and to doing good deeds. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I do recognize, though, that as we do this, as we motivate one another, it can get tiresome. When you're speaking from this place over and over, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, eventually it's going to get tired. And eventually you're going to get wiped out. Eventually it's going to sound like burnout. Eventually it's going to just get like white noise, unless there is this next thing we need to do. We need to be encouraging in our motivation. Talks about that, right? In that verse, says that let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. With motivation comes encouragement. We need to get built up. We need to be sharing with one another, encouraging words. We need to speak. So often we live in a world that likes to tear us down. It likes to rip on us. It likes to cancel what we are speaking and sharing. And yet we need to continue to encourage. At times we need a community to speak life into us, right? 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11 says, "For God was not destined, has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." Again, it goes back to that place of saying, early church was having hard times. Early church was struggling to make it work. Early church was dealing with a lot of persecution and a lot of struggle. And not just with the outside world, but within the church, there was discouragement. There was frustration. There were people that were coming that were sharing things that were disagreeing with one another about what the truth, what the way actually was. And discouragement could happen. It may be hard for a moment, but when we are encouraging one another, we can get through that season, can't we? When we have somebody that says, keep going, it's a lot easier to get back up and to continue to run the race. Even when we fall, when we hear those cheers, when we hear those people crying out, you can do it, you can do it, it gets you motivated, right? It compels you to move. It compels you to move. Another verse in this that I love is 1 Thessalonians 5:14. It says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly." This is that iron sharpens iron, right? Admonish at times, but encourage the faint-hearted. Encourage when they're down. Lift them up. How often has the church been the one that actually has burned somebody so bad because they're the ones that are talking down to the other Christian? That is wounded. Can I say, with all honesty, that I have been a part of that? That I have had individuals that have come to me and have said, I'm hurting, I'm questioning, I'm struggling. And sadly, I have not pastored them well. And I said, well, I don't know how I can help you. Ouch. Ouch. I was not very encouraging that day. And I wear that regret. And I repent from my heart in that time. But you see, because of moments like that, I think that many of us have experienced moments like that. That has made it to where the church has struggled and is hard to keep going. Because even inside the church, there has been struggle to encourage the faint-hearted, so to help the weak and to be patient with everyone. These verses are powerful, but when I also see that through Scripture they are demonstrated by the King of Kings, that makes them even more powerful. And I say that all of us need encouragement, right? God recognizes this and even spoke at Jesus' baptism to encourage him. Here's the Son of Man. Here is Christ. Here's the Messiah. He is all God, all man. And in this moment, in his humanity, God speaks over his Son. And with the Holy Spirit ascending, I'm going to read this here. Let me just read it to you. So it says this: after his baptism, this is Matthew 3, 16, 17. After his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly beloved Son, who brings me great joy." I look at this as a father and a mother just coming over their son and loving him and saying, "You got this. You got this." When we encourage one another, we are coming to them and we're saying to them, you got this. It may be hard, but you've been preparing. You've got this. Let's go. Further up, further in. You've got this. With encouragement, we are able to do things that we might think that we can't do. But because of the encouragement of others in our lives, it spurs us to do greater and bigger things. Let me put it to you this way. So a few years back, I went on this bucket list trip with a buddy of mine. We went over to the Escalante Wash Basin in Utah. There's a bunch of slot canyons. It's very much like, you know, Indiana Jones going through these canyons. And we were driving up over there, and we saw some canyons and all this slots. It was so cool. So cool. I mean, you have to wear a helmet, you know, and all of this stuff, walking through these things. You don't have to, but it's highly recommended. So there were things that we did on that trip that if I would have just gone by myself, I would not have ever thought that I would have been able to do. So we go to this one canyon, and there it's full of water. All right. Now, this isn't just like clear water where you can see the bottom. That might have been even scarier, but it was just this like dirty, dark water that you couldn't see inches below when you put your hands in. It was like dirty and you couldn't see. And I was like, this is terrifying. What if there was some tentacle-like thing that could just grab you and pull you in? And not only that, but the water was freezing cold. Okay. I'm looking at this water. I'm like, nope, not going to do it. And my buddy's like, but if we go to the other side, what do you think we're going to see over there? And I go, I don't know. He's like, I don't either. And that is so cool. Let's go. So he gets his, you know, he gets on his wetsuit and he does that. And he's like, there's, you know, you can put on your wetsuit too. He goes, I'm going. I know you can do this. You just got to do it. And I'm like, I don't know. And so he starts doing it. I'm like, okay, I'll go with you. So I get in the water and I swim over and we explore. And then, I mean, we had some ropes with us. And so we went rappelling, we went climbing, we did some other stuff in these canyons. And at the time, Jack was just born. And so here I am climbing around, risking death. And my wife is taking care of three children by herself. Brilliant dad move at that moment. But here I am doing this stuff. And at one point, I mean, I'm walking through this thing, and he goes through this mud that is knee-deep, and I'm looking at this clay, nasty stuff, and I'm going, I can't do it. And he's like, Mark, you've gone through dirty water, cold, freezing, dirty water. You've rappelled down cliffs. You've climbed sandstone rock, Navajo sandstone. You have done amazing things. This is mud. You got this. I'm like, I hate mud. This was nasty mud. This smelled like cow manure. It was green. It was clay. After, I'll say that I did go through it. I did press and push through the pain, and I walked through it. And it was the nastiest stuff that I'd ever gone through. The stuff stuck to my legs for the next day and a half. It was like the most effervescent feeling I'd ever experienced on my hairy legs. So painful. But the thing was, is that he was so motivational. And he wasn't, it was hard, it was trying, but I learned so much about myself. I learned that I could go further and do greater things than ever done before, because of what this guy was doing and just encouraging me to move forward. What would happen if we as a church were to encourage each other to go forward with the things of the Lord? To say, you got this. You can share your faith with somebody. It's okay. You just tell your story of how God has transformed your life. You got this. You might have a nasty boss who is just unruly and is just doing mean and nasty things, who's speaking death to you. You got this. You hang in there. You can do this stuff. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We were not meant to do this life alone. And the writer of Hebrews is reinforcing this fact. Hear this. I wrote this down because it just talked about what encouragement is. And because we're not supposed to do this alone, without encouragement, life would soon feel pointless and burdensome. Without encouragement, we can be overwhelmed by the very real pains of our lives. Without encouragement, we feel unloved. Without encouragement, we begin to think that God is a liar or is unconcerned with our welfare. So the Bible tells us to encourage one another, to remind each other of the truth that God loves us, that God equips us, that we are treasured, that our struggles are worth it. This is what the body of Christ should do. This is what the church was called to do. This is what I believe this community is supposed to do. And the writer of Hebrews speaks about this not only to them, but we can hear this and go, this speaks to us as well. That we are also in a place to where we can look and see who needs to be encouraged today. We can look and see who needs motivation. And we can be so compelled as we hear it to do greater things than we would have ever thought before. In Proverbs 16:24, it says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. When we are encouraging people, I did talk about iron sharpens iron and that motivation. But when we are encouraging each other, there is sweet words in this place of love when we bring this truth home in a place of love and just reaching out with encouragement. It is something that helps us, motivates us, moves us forward. And now more than ever, you guys, we need our church community. We need it because Jesus is coming soon. I know eventually we'll stop talking about COVID and the struggles and the hardships that we've faced in the last year. I know that eventually we will look at that and it will be something that is farther in the past. But because it's so real right now, I know in conversations that I've had, people have missed, when we were closed, people missed church. People were struggling with their walks with the Lord because they missed the community. God was always there. God has always been there. He's made it a point to say he will never leave us or forsake us, right? He's always there. But when we don't have our community to walk through this life with, it really is a struggle, isn't it? We have a hard time walking through life because we're not getting the encouragement. We're not getting the motivation. And it's easy to just kind of fall into habits of whatever. But when the church comes together, there are great things that can take place. Great things. You know, there's a story that Jesus shares, this parable that Jesus shares of 10 virgins. Y'all familiar with this? I'll remind you of the story. Jesus is talking and he shares about 10 virgins that are waiting for the groom to come. And five of these women have their lamps full of oil, and five of them do not have enough oil to last through the night, so they leave to go get more oil. At first, they ask the ones that have enough, hey, can we use some? And they're like, no, all we've got is enough for ourselves. And so they then have to go and get more oil. While they're gone, the groom comes, and so five of these women go in, and five are left out in the cold, and they're not able to come in. Now, I want to propose something. This is not what Jesus was talking about with the story. So hear this. But when I thought about these 10 women, what if those that had enough saw the five that didn't, and before the night came, went, hey, I don't know that you have enough oil in your lamps. I think maybe you should get some more. I don't want you to miss out on the party. I don't want you to miss out on the wedding. I want you to go get some more oil in your lamp because right now you don't have enough. What do you think would have happened if they could have shared that? Now, I know the story is not about that, but I just couldn't help but think to myself, this is where the church can benefit. This is where the church can pour into itself when it can speak to those people that have not had enough, have not prepared well enough. The church can come and these people can mentor, can speak into, can love on these other individuals and say, hey, let me show you how you can get more. Let me show you how you can grow in your walk with the Lord. Let me just tell you, as I want to invite the worship team to come back up here. The church community. If I didn't have a church community, I would not be in this position right now. I think about this, even from the time that I was born, all right? I had people speaking into my life, saying to me, the church was saying to me, this guy's going to be a pastor. I had a youth pastor that poured his life into me, and he spoke truth into me. And when I was going back VBS, I remember volunteers, these men and women who volunteered their time in the church to speak truth into my life as a child, to where I began to understand what it meant for Christ to die on a cross for me. So then when the time came for me to receive Christ with my dad, he talked to me and I understood the principles and what he was talking about with what Jesus did for me on the cross and how he died and rose again. And I wanted Jesus in my life because people in the church stepped up and motivated and encouraged me. I recognized that when I got older, I got to college, and in college for a season, I wasn't doing anything with my walk with the Lord. I was just kind of, you know, picking my nose and doing whatever it was up at college. And then I recognized, I'm walking home one day, walking back to my dorm, and I said, you know, my walk with the Lord is mine now. I can do with it what I want. Do I want to just let it go, or do I want to go deeper? On my own, I said, I want to go deeper. So I started going to church by myself because there was something there that I needed. It's Jesus. The Holy Spirit was just moving. But the people in the church saw this college-age goofball and said, hey, come on over, man. You need some food? Let's eat. Let's eat. Exactly what you guys are doing. That's awesome. People in the church seeing potential and doing something with a goofball like me. In the church, I sat right back there with where Gustavo was sitting on a Sunday morning. And after some things that I had done, speaking and doing stuff for a camp, one of the pastors here at this church came up to me and said, is your name Mark? I went, yep. And he says, after church, can you hang out? We want to talk to you. I was freaking out. I thought that I had done something completely wrong. I go up into this inner sanctum room upstairs, and this one of the pastors sits down with me, and he goes, hey, have you ever thought about youth ministry as a job, as a career? And I went, yeah. Let's do it. In the church, I met this amazing lady who eventually became my wife. In this church, I got to watch my kids grow up. And I've spoken things into their life. And they go, whatever, Dad. You're just like a pastor and stuff. You don't know. And then Andy or Sarah goes to them, or Josh goes to them, speaks the same thing that I've been sharing, and they're like, oh! It's like God spoke. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I know. It's crazy. The church is where these things have happened. I have been able to see legacy in this house of kids, being able to pray with them to receive the Holy Spirit, and now to see them baptizing their kids. That's awesome. That's awesome. That happens in the church, you guys. That's community. Community is family. And guys, we are part of this body, this TRC community of believers. May we motivate, may we encourage, and may we move forward just showing the love of God to this world and to Durango, Colorado. Jesus is coming back, and until then, we need to fire each other up. with words of encouragement to build each other up so that when we feel we can't go on, we have our community around us compelling us forward. Now, I know that there are a ton of great communities out there. There's bicycle communities. There's rock climbing communities. There's hunting and fishing. There's Durango communities. There's business communities. The list can go on. You can make up, there's camping communities. There's quilting communities. There's any and every kind of community out there. There's acting communities, drama communities, theater communities, art communities, whatever it is that there is out there, all of it, there are people that want to do it and they want to do it together. There are communities for all of that. And I will tell you this, there's only one that has an eternal value. The rest of them are good. Don't get me wrong. I like me some fishing community. All right? I need to find somebody who's a guide. I really do. Teach me some stuff. But there is one community that has eternal value, and that is the church community. So may we today, in all the other communities, let's also find value in this community. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's close in prayer. It's been good today. Man, so good. Let's pray with me. Lord, I thank you for this group of people that are here. This community, this church community. Lord, I know that there are times where many of us have been burned by a church community. Many of us have found victory because of a church community. And I know, Lord, that because of those victories come from you. Because we fall short. We mess up. And we struggle. But you are good. So, Lord, thank you for this body. Thank you for this place, this community of people, this church. Church isn't the building. Church is the people. And thank you for these people that make up this church. For you are doing something mighty in this body. You are speaking to our hearts. You are igniting a flame. Lord, you are doing something in each of us individually, Lord, and now it's time that we start to do things corporately together as a community of believers. May it be, Lord, that we bring a kingdom of heaven community to where we live, work, and play so that others can know Christ. May it be. Help us all to see those that have encouraged us, to see those that have motivated us, that have led us to the Lord, to see those that have spoken life into us. Lord, remind us of those people. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see those that need us to pour into them, to help motivate and encourage. Ah, you are good. Oh, I love you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, so much for each of these people. May it be that you move mightily in this house. We praise you, God, and thank you in your name. Amen.